Welcome to What's Poppin', where we get to know the people of Prince of Peace and dig a little deeper into the message from the previous Sunday. Today, my guest is Erica Thompson. Erica, thanks for coming today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Erica, you work in the office at Prince of Peace. And so for all the office workers, I'm asking the first question of how long have you been at Prince of Peace?
I've been at Prince of Peace since February of this year. And to be completely honest, it's just been a wonderful job for me. And I'm not just saying it, like, it's just been really great. Like, it's just been peaceful. The people have been friendly and nice, and I like it.
That's wonderful to hear. We love having you too. Mm-hmm. And so the folks who are listening, Erica is the first face you see when you walk into the office. And so it's a wonderful thing to see in the morning. We come in, have a nice smile and a nice greeting, and she does fantastic things. And so what are some of your main responsibilities here?
I do the worship folders for the Sunday service. I answer the phone, print out things. Just the front desk person.
Front desk stuff. And whatever we ask you to do as well. Like, I asked you about certain coffee pods for the Keurig, and you take care of that sort of stuff too. So,
what's your favorite coffee?
Of the Keurig stuff? I like the organic Mexican.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know why, but that's what I like the best. What is something that you do at Prince of Peace that a lot of people may not know that you do?
Well, people do know, but I do the prayer, like when I answer the prayers on emails. So I construct the prayer circle emails.
Yeah, Erica's a prayer warrior, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Another thing that you do, I think a lot of folks don't know that you do, is like these little crafty things that you do for like Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So all the succulent little things that were out there, you put those together. And that was like totally your idea. And you did that. So those little things that we see once in a while.
And also I'll be working in the VBS, the art group for 4th to 7th graders. Is your daughter in 4th grade?
She will be going to 4th grade.
So she'll be in my class.
I think so.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I know a lot of folks don't know this about you. You have a social work background, which is very... I want to say respectable, but I have a high regard for folks who have gotten into that sort of profession and are interested in it, because it's not easy, right? So when did you know that you want to help people in need, and what is there something that was a catalyst that got you into that sort of line of work?
Well, I'll just be honest. I remember when I was a little girl and we were walking down the Fisherman's Wharf with my family, and I saw someone who was homeless asking for something. Mm-hmm. And I just remember passing by that person, and it just looked like of someone like my dad. Mm. Like it was a man and in need, and it just really touched me. And I just knew that I've always wanted to help just like my community and help people who are disadvantaged, because in this life, like, you never know when you're gonna be in need. So it's always good to help others. But but I feel like social work was very rewarding, but at the same time, it was very, it takes a lot out of you.
Draining.
Yeah. But I will go back one day.
And one day you're going to go
back.
When
I'm ready.
Yeah. And we have talked about this before, because I know some folks in social work too, and it's hard to stay in that line of work for a long time, because it's very hard to not take on the burdens of the people you're working with.
Yeah.
And if you're working with them, it means that they have some burdens and they need some help. And so it can be difficult to separate, you know, work from your personal life and not bring it all home.
And the field that I worked with in social work was permanent supportive housing for formerly homeless families, and also clients who have dealt with severe mental health challenges and who were involved in behavioral health court in San Francisco. So I worked at UCSF Citywide as a peer case manager and also as a family service coordinator with Abode Services in Fremont.
That's really cool.
And I love the job a lot, but it's important to have boundaries too.
Right.
You can't be always save people, but you can help people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the hard part, right? Yeah. Because when you are involved in that, and mm-hmm. as a pastor, we get involved in things like that as well.
Yeah.
It can be frustrating when the people you're trying to help mm-hmm. don't receive it or don't follow through or something, or they're back where they were again.
Yeah.
And you can't save them, mm-hmm. right? But you can try to help and yeah. try to give them those things that
yeah.
Can help them get back on their feet. And I have a high regard, especially for people who are working with those who are trying to get them back into homes and permanent housing, mm-hmm. Because that's such a huge thing mm-hmm. on the West Coast, where yeah. we're just dealing with a lot of folks who just can't afford to live in a place, aren't mm-hmm. sure how to adult mm-hmm. sometimes,
yeah.
right? You yeah. know, and need the skills and the help to get into places. So thank you for your past work and your future service work,
too. Yeah. And also one last thing about yeah. that work is when I worked with a lot of the moms, I just saw so many strengths in them, mm. like being some of them being single and raising kids and just going to school, working, and doing the best they can. Like, I feel like they are warriors and they are awesome. Like sometimes people look down on people who need help, but really they are some people that we can learn from.
Yeah,
yeah.
The amount of work that they put into yeah. life and have just a hard time getting settled, mm-hmm. right? It's just difficult, but they yeah. stay at it and they're raising kids at the yeah. same time. It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, especially with the circumstances that they had to deal with their own.
Right. A lot of time it's inherited.
Yeah.
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 And so it's difficult.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you for sharing all that.
Uh-huh.
So I also asked the guests to bring a couple of things from the previous message that mm-hmm. they thought were interesting or good or bad. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's something that you spent some time on. So do you have anything you want to share or bring up or have questions about from last week's message?
I really enjoyed your message. I loved the parallels between the two Psalms. What were the passages?
It was Psalm 119.
Uh-huh.
And I believe we started in verse 25 mm-hmm. and ended somewhere in the 40s.
Yeah, I feel like you talked about like the commandments and the rules and how they're not burdensome, but often they do feel burdensome.
Yeah.
But then again, I remember sometimes there's this new term called FOMO, FOMO,
oh,
fear
yeah.
of missing out.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're like, oh, why? You know, like there's so many, there's rules of being a Christian. Like
right.
you can't do certain things.
Right.
But then when I have those like temptations of either conforming to the world, but then when I realize, when I try to like run that, take that narrow path of listening to God's commandments, I realize that there are blessings in the long term.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that verse that I really wanted to share.
Yeah.
Is about that is Psalms 84:11. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless."
Yeah.
But sometimes, I just feel like he does reward us, but it's in his timing.
It's long term.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that FOMO, right, that fear of missing out is very much so immediate gratification,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And often that immediate gratification leads to long term sorrow.
True. Yeah.
Right? And sometimes taking that narrow path, like you're saying, isn't immediately satisfying.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you see your friends out.
Yeah.
And like they're like inviting you to do things, like clubbing,
yep.
like which I used to do.
Yeah.
But like they invite you to do things or just like doing things that are what the world says is normal.
It's normal, right.
And it's you do feel like you're missing out, but you feel like you're just being like a goody two shoes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that's one of the things I wanted to get across on Sunday is like the commands he gives us that can seem burdensome, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're for our own good.
Yeah.
Right? They really are. And so you're not gonna have that long term regret from the immediate gratification of doing something
mm-hmm.
if you try to stay on that narrow path.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be difficult in a world where everything is okay.
Yeah.
You know, and where you want to be with your friends and hang out with your friends. Mm-hmm. And maybe, I mean, going to the club in itself isn't wrong.
No.
Right. But it could lead to things that could be wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And walking that line of going to the club, but not falling into everything that the club has to, you know, offer you.
Yeah. And then when you do live that narrow path and follow God's commandments, isn't there, like, sometimes you will be persecuted for living a godly life?
For sure. Yeah. And we should expect that. I mean, they persecuted Jesus.
Yeah.
If we say we're aligned with him and following him, then they're going to persecute us too. Yeah. I remember when, I mean, I have a bit of a checkered past.
Okay.
And I remember when I stopped doing a bunch of stuff that I tried hanging out with my friends still, and I would go to the parties, but I wouldn't drink, I wouldn't smoke, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And just my presence made them mad at me.
Yeah.
It got them upset. They would come at me and say, "You think you're so much better than us." And it's like, I'm not telling you not to do anything. I'm just trying to hang out and not do what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I know that feeling pretty well of trying to walk that narrow path and being persecuted for it, and like, not even telling others they can't do what they're doing, but just because you're not, they see that and they feel a conviction of themselves.
Yeah.
You become the target of of their anger.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
And yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anything else?
When you talked about the commandments, you brought up the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And I looked up Deuteronomy 28, which I really love.
Yeah.
And at Deuteronomy 28, it talks about the blessings. It says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country." Mm-hmm. So it keeps on going. But I was just wondering, what kind of commandments is he referring to?
So that's one of those terms that I talked about on Sunday, where it's like the all-encompassing of God's revelation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in Deuteronomy, in that part of Deuteronomy, God has already revealed himself to the people of Israel. And so they know he's God.
Mm-hmm.
He saved them from slavery in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So he's redeemed them. He said they are his people.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's shown them how to live as his people in the world. Those 10 indicatives, right?
Oh,
those natural characteristics of someone who is part of God's family.
Mm-hmm.
And so those commandments that he's talking about in that Deuteronomy passage is everything.
Okay.
Like if you keep God first and as he's revealed himself to be and follow his ways and keep him, things are going to go better for you.
Yeah.
They just are. And if you turn away from God and follow the ways of the world, things might go better for you on the short term.
True.
According to the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But in the long term, things will not be, you will not be blessed.
That is so true. The short term of like being accepted and yeah, definitely.
And it makes it hard, right?
One
thing that I didn't talk about on Sunday that is a good connection passage to this is Galatians.
Oh.
It was just too much for me to get into on Sunday. But in Galatians, the Apostle Paul is dealing with people who are being told that they have to believe in Jesus and trust in Jesus, but also do certain things to be God's people. And so all of Galatians is really about him trying to get them to understand that it's not what you do that makes you, you know, a child of God. You know, you're not a son or daughter because of the things you do. You're a son or daughter because God's adopted you in through his Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus, right? And so it's all grace. And near the end of Galatians, he says to, I'm actually going to read it. He says in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery," which brings us back to that, you know, Israelites in Egypt, Exodus type idea, been freed from slavery. But he's talking about a slavery to sin, but a slavery to sin and the idea of I have to do the right things to be God's person. And then he goes down a little further in verse 13. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so when we're thinking about like the commands of God and following that narrow path, it really comes down to how do I give of myself to do what's best for the person around me according to the will of the Father? And doesn't make you a child of God, right? Yeah. But that's how we're supposed to live as indicative children of God. And so sometimes being the person who goes to the club and doesn't do anything that gets off the narrow path is exactly what your friends need to see.
Oh, okay.
Because they need to see that there's a different way. And they may come at you for it. Like, why aren't you doing this? And you can say, well, because I'm a child of God. And they may have a problem with that, but that's actually you giving of yourself to show them what God's will is for them too, right?
True.
And so you're loving them, you know, even though it doesn't feel good when you're doing it because they're mad at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked how you mentioned Galatians.
Yeah.
One of my favorite verses in Galatians is Galatians 6:7. It's like, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So that's exactly.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
So
yeah.
God is not mocked. So you're not like when you're doing good, you're not wasting your time.
At all.
He's a God of justice and he does repay us eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like I said, it's not what makes you part of his family. Right?
Yeah.
And so part of Paul's point there is if you say you are part of his family because you are, you know, you know Jesus, then your life should reflect that.
Yeah. Right?
And so God will not be mocked. Like don't say one thing that you confess Jesus as being Lord and then not treat him as Lord anywhere else in your life.
I have a really great friend named Sylvia. She goes to Vive Church in San Francisco.
Okay.
And she told me something that was really convicting when I talked to her. She said, are you flirting with Jesus or are you in love with Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's true. And I was like, I'm just flirting with him. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm not really all in, and that's something I have to work on. Because it is costly.
It is. It is costly. But just the recognition of that is huge. To have the conviction of I should be more all in.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's the Spirit at work in you. And you should be thanking God that you have that conviction. Because there really is no point where anyone should go, oh, I got this all figured out. Like, you know, I'm doing everything perfectly now, you know, because we can't.
Yeah.
You know, it's a constant battle and
a
journey.
Yeah.
And part of that, I think God did this for us so that we're forced into his arms over and over and over again.
Wow.
Because if we could just figure it out and start doing exactly what we're going to do, then we might lose sight of him. And it's not about what we do. It's about him, right?
Yeah.
And so if we try and we fall short, then we have to constantly go back and go, sorry, Lord, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and the fact that it's not about how good I am, but how good you are.
That's really true. Yeah, it's about being humble.
Yeah, being brought back to him over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's the story of my life.
Well, good. That's the story of all our lives if we actually look at them.
Yeah.
Good. Anything else on the message?
Was there one thing that you felt that you wanted us to take away from it that was the main thing?
Also the fact that God's word is good. Right? And there aren't things in the Bible that we go, well, we don't like that because it makes us feel this or makes us do that. It's like, no, his word is good. It's there for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's for our good. And so if we don't like how it's interpreting us, that's an us problem, not his word problem.
It's very true what you're saying. His word is very good. Like, it's very good.
Yeah.
I guess,
It just is, right?
Yeah.
And the more you get into it, the more you see. It is.
Good. Yeah.
I've got a question for you. It's not about the message.
Sure.
Coming back to some of the Archie stuff that I've seen you do here, right? What is your favorite crafty hobby and why?
Well, can I just mention my hobbies in general?
Yeah.
Sure. I like nature.
Okay.
So I like hiking and, I also like dancing. So I used to take dance classes in the city. Yeah, I took adult ballet classes. I took belly dancing. I took Tahitian when I was little.
Like
the Hawaiian dance.
Yeah.
And I've always loved crafting.
Yeah.
So I remember my mom, I would look in the newspaper and there would be like things the library would have different, when I was a child, different like activities like, oh, make a Valentine card. And I would make her take me.
Yeah.
When I was little, but one thing I want to get into when it comes to crafting is candles.
Candles.
Like make my own make candles. Your own,
like dip your own wicks.
Yeah, with stuff. Soy candles and essential oils and like florals. But yeah, I'm into that. Yeah, those are my hobbies. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So if you're going to do something crafty, mm-hmm. what's the thing you're thinking about at work? Like, I'm going to go home and do this.
I do it for fun, but like just simple things, like maybe making a card for someone and sending it to someone. There's something so like just having a card, because we always get bills and stuff, but having like a homemade card and like with an encouraging word and like using like ribbon and like,
That's one thing I've seen, like your crafty stuff.
Yeah.
You combine crafting with purpose, and the purpose is to make someone else feel better.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Like, it makes them feel better to encourage them. And so you don't craft for craft's sake.
Yeah.
You craft with a purpose, which is really cool.
Working here has been really awesome. Everyone has been really encouraging and nice, and it just feels good. So I hope it continues to be that wonderful environment.
I think it will.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to share today?
I guess we could leave with one positive revelation or verse from Christ or encouragement. Yeah. So I guess you could start first.
Oh, I get to go first. Yeah. You're going to pop that on me. And all right.
I have to find mine.
All right. So, you know what? I really like using some of the blessings from the end of the epistles in the New Testament during worship. Mm-hmm. And they're always very encouraging. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3.
Okay.
It actually starts in chapter 2, but it's verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. What do you got?
Okay. I got Psalms 84:5-7.
Okay.
Know that one?
I don't.
Okay. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. One question. What is the valley of Baca?
I don't know offhand. The valley of Baca. When you said that, I was like, valley of Baca. I don't recognize that term. I'd have to look it up.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me, Pastor Engelhart.
Thank you for coming. I'm glad you agreed to come on. It wasn't that bad, was it?
It was fun.
Good. Thanks, Erica.